This is a weekend edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Coming up, a solar decathlon. But first, the Museum of Sex opens today in New York City. Wonder why not Iowa City? This claims to be the first museum of its kind in the United States and says it will offer a serious, historical look at a subject that most visitors probably think they already know a little something about. Karen Michelle takes a peek.
The Museum of Sex is in a discreet, even boring building on Fifth Avenue. There's nothing sexy about the place, though it's allegedly a former bordello. Inside, everything is safely attached to the wall or in a case behind glass. No living practitioners, save the viewers. All is tasteful, demure even, as befits a museum.
This is where the exhibition begins, and it begins with the murder of a prostitute in 1836, Helen Jewett.
Grady Turner is the executive curator at the Museum of Sex. Before he was here, he was the director of exhibitions at the New York Historical Society. He's serious about sex.
Well, our mission is quite broad in this regard. It's to collect, preserve, and interpret the material culture surrounding human sexuality. Most people don't think of sex as having a history. They think that they invented sex when they started having sex, and they don't see what material is produced around that.
In Turner's first show at the museum, he selected dozens of photographs, letters, pamphlets, and objects to address the history of sex in New York City. It's here, he claims, that sex truly took off.
Here's a section on sex parties and buffet flats, and what we see are the beginnings of evidence of social networks of people who got together for sex parties, engaged in sexual acts, and were photographed doing so.
Now, Turner shows a group of black and white photographs of naked men and women doing what the museum is about.
Anything you want, you can get in that place.
The pictures are pretty graphic, though elsewhere in the sections on entertainers Gypsy Rose Lee and Mae West, the lesbian scene uptown in Harlem, and the hookers and hustlers on 14th Street and below, the signposts of the id are no more outrageous than anything you'd find at the Met or the Whitney. That's pretty much what museum founder and director Daniel Gluck has in mind.
It's the idea of one potentially building a museum of modern art or something like that. It's an epic undertaking. That's what's moved me. It's not just the business. It's really the idea of building something like a museum that'll last 100 years or 200 years or longer.
That's not exactly how the New York Board of Regents saw it. The board grants nonprofit status to museums, but not this one. When the board turned him down, Gluck recalls them saying something about making a mockery of the word museum. But he says being a straight-ahead for-profit institution gives the Museum of Sex more freedom.
We just felt that even if we did a successful first exhibition that was safe and it was acceptable, it would just be every year we'd have to question, well, is this going too far? Can we not touch this subject matter? And we don't have to work that way.
That means the museum can include, well, porno movies. New York was the capital of the porno film industry before it moved to the West Coast, and Vanessa Del Rio, one of its stars. She doesn't go to any of the museums near her home in Staten Island, but she's delighted that there's a Museum of Sex in Manhattan.
Oh, I love it. I think it's about time, first of all, because, I mean, sex is how we got here. And there's so many different things about sex, you know, toys and just the history of it, and that it's about time they've had something like this.
There's something in this museum for all the girls. Curator Grady Turner points to photographs taken by George Platt Lyons.
Here's an old guy. This is a professional model that George Platt Lyons often liked to work in sort of on classical themes. So in George Platt Lyons' hands, this old guy is Diogenes. This is Yul Brynner, posing nude as if in a sauna.
Yes, that looks so much better.
When he still had hair before he began to shave his head. Famously well hung.
There's even Wonder Woman, the cartoon. She gets pride of place.
There was a certain kind of kinkiness to Wonder Woman. She had these extremely high heels. She had this cinched waist, these high panties. And the rope thing, the rope that she had, her only weapon really was to tie people up.
The museum's collection of fetish gear is just across from Wonder Woman. There's a crudely made rubber mask and the pièce de résistance, a leather lace-up arm restraint made by a sadistic dentist in Mexico. Vanessa Del Rio was asked to contribute some of her costumes to the collection.
As I was looking for stuff, I found a pair of shoes that the tips were kind of curled up. And I just found it, because I collect my old shoes. And I just laughed because I figured, well, that's from being on my knees.
In the final sections of the exhibition, there are letters and answering machine messages from and to a young man finding freedom in New York, and later death.
Hi, Charles. My name is John. I'm calling from ACT UP. I'm sorry to hear you're in the hospital. I hope you're doing better and feeling okay right now.
The intended recipient was curator Grady Turner's friend. When he started researching the exhibition, he feared that AIDS and former Mayor Rudolph Giuliani killed sex, or at least sexual variety, in New York. But he's found out otherwise.
In 1972, pornography was something associated with Times Square. Nowadays, it's something associated with your VCR.
The Museum of Sex opens today in New York City. No one under 18 is admitted. And yes, there's a gift shop. For NPR News, I'm Karen Michelle in New York.